Well, my name is Kelly. I'm one of the pastors on staff. And if there's anything I love to communicate about, it is this. It is Sabbath. As a mom of three adult daughters, nothing brings me more joy than watching them each week send me a little photo saying, "Mom, look what I'm doing today," as I rest my soul. So my husband and I, we met when we were 24 years old. So our first birthday together, we were 25. And on that birthday, that's so fun, that just dropped. On that birthday, I had no idea that 25 years later, we'd be getting ready to celebrate our 50th birthdays together in May. And what I love about my husband is from the very first day, I loved all the things we had in common, right? Any of you just still at the beginning stage of dating and you're just like, oh, we have all the things. And so one of my favorite things about him is he knew all the words to Manfred Mann's Blinded by the Light and was courageous enough to like sing as we're just getting to know each other. And of course, you know, we both had brown hair and brown eyes and we liked some of the same songs. And we liked a lot of the same shows. But after a while, when you're with a person in a relationship, do you start to realize the things that are different? Does that become a little more obvious? And so I would say of all the things most obvious right now are two things. One, we think dishwashers should be loaded completely differently, right? I'm like, how much can I shove in and where can I put it? And he's got order to his life. And then the other thing is he is a software engineer and I am technologically inept. Like there's no other word for it. And so I was completely surprised one night when I downloaded the iOS update for my phone and out of nowhere appeared screen time. Does anybody have that app on their phone? It's terrible. It tells you how much time you waste on your phone. It's like you spent 2 hours on Facebook today. Not what I want to be doing with my life. But one of the neat things is every night at 10 o'clock, my phone tells me it's time to stop looking at it. Thanks to screen time. If you want this, you can download the app too. And so 10 o'clock, my phone goes dark. And a little hourglass appears. And the hourglass says to me, because, you know, we are still in charge of technology, right? We are not ruled by it. It says, do you want to ignore the limit? And so I have the choice. I can go to bed or stop looking at my phone at 10, or I can press that button and I can ignore the limit. And I don't know about you, but there are a lot of days in my life where I realize that God has given such good limits and I choose to ignore them. And so what transformed my life in 2003 was a book and a series by Pete Scazzaro called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. He had another book, Emotionally Healthy Leadership. And I learned this sentence that I had never known, and that is limits are a gift from God. And so if you don't remember anything else today, this is what I want you to believe, that God has put limits in your life, financial and energy-wise and relational limits and time. And those limits are a gift from him. And we have two choices. We can ignore it, and we can push through, and we can go past our limit, or we can decide to believe the truth that limits are a gift from God. And so as John said, today we're going to be talking about that. What does it look like to honor the limit of Sabbath? And we see Sabbath when we go back to Genesis chapter 1. And so if you don't have a Bible, they're in the back. We'd love to give you one as a gift. I also encourage you to put it on your phone because you never know when you have 5 or 10 minutes and you can choose that instead of just scrolling through aimlessly. And as I've said a couple times when I've been up here, if you don't have the Read Scripture app yet, put it on your phone. It's absolutely amazing. It pulls you through Scripture in a really great way. And it shares information that maybe you didn't know that brings Scripture alive. But if you go to the book of Genesis, whether on your phone, through the Bible, or just as it's on the screens, you see a God who loved us from the beginning. A God who created the universe by speaking. See, on the very first day, he created time. He created day and he created night. And there was a limit. See, no matter who you are, a king or a pauper, a little child or a grown adult, we all got the same limit, 24 hours a day. And I know I'm thankful for that, because if God had given us 52 hours a day and said only work 24 of them, I would have pushed back that limit every single day since I was a child. But when God created day and night, when he created the ocean, when he created with intention. And when he created us, when he created people, it says in Scripture, God said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, said, let us create men and women in our image. And so on day 6, Adam, humanity, is created. And you and I, we're made in the image of God. And when he created us, do you know what he said? He said, it is very good. And for a long time, I thought that was the pinnacle of creation, right? Each day got bigger and stronger, from fish and birds to animals to people. But this year as a staff, we're going through a book called Beloved Dust. And in there, we learned that creation story does continue past people, and it continues to rest. Did you ever notice that in Genesis 2? On the seventh day, God finished his work of creation. So he rested from all work. God didn't need to rest. He spoke and it came to be. He created rest and then gives it to us as a gift. And we see that gift in the book of Exodus. And so when we get to Exodus, we see God creating a nation for himself. He had told Abraham back in Genesis, I'm going to make a people, and they're going to make my name great by living like I want them to live. And those people became slaves, and God rescued them from slavery. And as he recreated them into a nation, he gave them laws that helped them understand that they needed a God. It showed them their dependency. And in those laws, he gave them this gift. It's in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. And on that day, no one in your household may do any work. That includes you and your sons and your daughters. It includes your servants and your livestock and the foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, God made the heaven and the earth and the sea, everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. And that's why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Limits are a gift from God. And he created 6 days for you and I to do the things that we were made on purpose to do. Work is also from God. But on seventh day, he gave us this gift. He gave us a day of rest, a day to remember that we have limits. He is God and we are not. And a day to remember that we are beloved and we are dust. And without stopping and being still, we forget one of those. We start to work and spend all our energy trying to be something because at the core of us, we know we're dust and our time here is limited. And we don't want our life to end without there being purpose. But God wants you to know the purpose of your life is to be known and loved by him and to share that love with others. You are beloved. And so the greatest gift that God gave is Jesus. That's why we come here each week to sing and proclaim and make his name great, because what Jesus did on the cross, it shattered any need for us to strive. There is nothing we can do that would make God love us more. He already loves us fully and completely, and the gift of Sabbath is the ability to sit and to be still, to sit in silence and believe that you are beloved, and if you were the only one, Jesus still would have died on the cross for you. God loves you. But when Jesus came to this earth, he didn't stay God. He put on flesh, and he became dust. And he walked through this earth living a perfect life and then redeeming us with his precious blood. That's why each week we come to the altar and sharing communion. And so God wants us to know that his limits are good. You don't have to strive. You don't have to work. You don't have to live life pleasing the people around us, or pleasing an inner voice that you can never, ever get to rest. The voice we want to hear, and the reason we encourage you each week to come and to be in this place, because I don't know about you, but I can hear God loudest when I'm worshiping with his people. I can believe that what he says is true. God gave us this limit of Sabbath as a gift, and it is okay to rest. And so we're going to believe today as we leave that this gift is a gift from a good and loving God. But we're not resting for a reason. And so what do you think that reason is? How many of you ever have been around a small child who doesn't believe they're tired? Like, you know they're tired, but they are just like, no, that is not the reason I'm screaming and kicking and taking a temper tantrum. There's a completely different reason. I don't think that ends. I think we just get better at hiding it. I think many of us are walking through life tired. And so to see if I was correct in my assumption, I asked on Facebook this week, hey, are any of you tired? What do you do to delight? And it was the most engagement I'd seen on my Facebook page in a long time, because I might have a lot of friends, but a whole bunch of them seem to just scroll and like not tell me when they're reading things or if they like something. But that day, all of a sudden, people I forgot I was friends with started telling me, yeah, I'm tired. I'm really tired. And see, sometimes our tiredness is because something hard is happening. See, when you're walking through life and someone you love is sick, yeah, you're going to feel tired to your soul. And that's why Jesus' promises is so important. Are you weary? Come to me, and I will give you rest. But some of us are tired because we've chosen not to believe and receive the gift of this limit. We've chosen to say, you know what? I'm the exception. I know everybody else needs rest, but I'm amazing. Like, I can do all the things all the time. And this wouldn't have impacted me so much if this wasn't sort of who I am to the core. And if you don't believe me, my mom is here and she will tell you. My favorite word is busy, right? Like, I'm always like, what busy thing can I do in my life? But God is so good, and he has been speaking this over me for 17 years. And that's why I love to be able to share with you, because Sabbath is powerful. It transforms us. And where it transforms us is in the most important way. Because there's only one way that people far from God are going to find Jesus, and that is by our love. And when we are tired, we don't love well. When our little toddler or preschooler is tired, they just can't love well. And they need to get their emotions out, and then they fall asleep, don't they? 99% of the time, they fall asleep and they're better. And we just figure out a way to hide our exhaustion, our soul-level exhaustion. And we think people don't notice. But we do. Because we walk through life surrounded by people working on empty, working without living water flowing through them. And so because I believe that Sabbath is so powerful, I wanted to give you a powerful word to remember it. And on your way in, you may not have even noticed, but we have at our welcome table journals so that each week if God speaks a word or a phrase or a chapter of scripture, we want you to have a place to write it down. Because as much as we believe we're going to leave here and remember, as soon as we get in the car, things happen and we start to forget. But if you have a way to take notes or you're online and you want to take notes, I would put the acronym SWORD, S-W-O-R-D, down the page. And I want to speak to what Sabbath is. A day set apart to be holy. So what does that look like? For the S and the W, I want you to know that on Sabbath, we have a command from God himself. And the command is this: stop working. Stop working. Now, that doesn't just mean working for pay, right? For a long time, I had a job that paid, and I have still to this day another job that doesn't pay. Anybody else have one of those jobs where you're just taking care of things all the time? Yeah, we're supposed to stop working there too. We're supposed to take a day where we stop working. And so what happens when we stop working? Well, we begin to engage and replenish and restore our soul. See, it's a part of us that only God can fill. That's why Jesus came as living water to restore our soul. And Jake spoke about this last week. He said, one of the ways we can restore our soul is stillness. Were you here as the bumper went through and we sat in stillness? My daughter and I had been in while he prepared that. And I can tell you, we had a visible, real physical reaction to being able to sit still for that long. We didn't know we hadn't sat still until we did it. And so God desires that we would rest in order that we could be his co-laborers. See, in this series called Ancient Paths, we want to show you different disciplines that bring us to a place of health. And so next week, Amy's going to share what does that look like to be a co-laborer with Christ. And so to get to a place where we are full, filled with the love of God, we're going to talk about a Sabbath rest every week. And so the first part, stop working. That's what the Hebrew word literally means. Sabbath, rest, stop working. But most of us, we just can't stop. We have been working and working and working our whole lives. No one had ever taught us this part. See, I grew up in church like many of you did. And so I would go to church on Sunday, and not just for an hour. I mean, we went to Bible study and church and came back Sunday night and went Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays. I mean, church was the center of our lives, but I still hadn't learned what it meant to stop. Because when I stop and I'm still, I believe that God is king of the universe, not me. And there are things that were created in advance for me to do, and there are things that I'm doing that are not mine to do. And without stillness, I won't hear that. What's the primary thing that God wants from us? A relationship with him. He said in Genesis 1, let us make people in our image. And he loves us and he's with us. And when we are busy, we miss that. We walk through life without spending time with him. You know, I'm a mom of adult daughters, so because of that, I watched The Bachelor. And I never did, but they're into it, and it's something we connect on. And I think one of the most heartbreaking things is the idea that you can spend time with 30 people, and those seconds together will help you decide who you want to spend the rest of your life with, right? And I am so impressed with the women this year. They're like, yeah, we're not spending time together. It's not going that way. I'm going to check out, and I'm going to take myself out of this. Because you can't have a relationship with somebody you don't spend any time with. And so, in addition to coming each week and hearing God's word and being with his people and worshiping him, God delights in us. He enjoys you. He knows your thoughts. And you weren't created to work. You were created to rest and to be with him. Because I know for me, it's easy to skim. It's easy to do parts of this, and then the other parts I can put aside for another day. And that's why Matthew 11 speaks to my heart. When he was speaking to his friends 2,000 years ago, I think he was speaking words that we still need today. Jesus said, are you tired? Worn out from religion? Come to me. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. And believe me, I know there are some of you sitting here today and you say, Kelly, you have no idea. Please don't tell me to do one more thing. You have no idea what my life looks like. I can remember when my friend Chris brought this to me in 2003. I was a mom of three young children, working part-time in a church and working part-time as a kindergarten teacher. And when they, my friends Chris and Adam, said, we're going to take every Wednesday and we're going to pray and be in the Word and have imaginative prayer and rest, I was angry. Because I'm like, sure, you two guys with full-time jobs and no children, you go do that thing. You go do that pastor thing of sitting, but you have no idea about my life. And so slowly, in a caring and gentle way, they brought me each week to a place where I began to long for our Wednesdays. And it didn't start off with 24 hours of rest. It started off with an hour and then an afternoon. And I began to see the difference in myself when I was sitting and being still and letting Jesus pour into me. But more importantly, my children began to feel the difference. I was no longer losing it on the spur of the moment. I was no longer talking with my teeth clenched. Anybody get there because you're so tired? I was beginning to live a peaceful, loving life. And I couldn't do that if I didn't believe that limits are a gift from God. 6 days you have to work and one day to rest. So what's the day, right? I know some of you, Sunday is beautiful. Sundays, you can set aside time and you can come and worship and be with a friend after and have lunch and just spend a day delighting and taking a nap. And others, you leave here quickly because there's a job and there's a thing. See, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 14 that this has been going on for a while. What do we do with the people who rest differently than we do? It started off as an argument over food. See, you couldn't just run to the grocery store there. Food was very scarce, and there was food offered to idols, and there were people who thought you only could eat vegetables, and they were fighting over things that were not the central reason that Christ came. And then they began to fight in verse 5 over what day is holy and set apart. And Paul says this in the same way. Some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think that every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whatever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. I understand that some of you are so far past capacity in your limit of time. There is no way you can look at your calendar next week and say, I'm going to take this day off. But what does it look like to come home on a Friday night and light a candle, and be still, and enjoy a meal with people you love, and go to bed early, and get some rest, and wake up the next morning, and start to delight the way God created you to delight. It doesn't have to look like your neighbor's Sabbath, but there needs to be a first step. If you're looking to work on this a little bit more, I highly recommend the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. I listened to it twice on audiobooks and then bought it so I could underline it. It's one of the most transformative books I've ever read on how to change our life one habit at a time. And he said, what we need is to start a habit and then we can improve. So if you look at your calendar and there is no 24 hours ahead for this week, can you block off an hour? And watch as God begins to move and create space and it turns to 2 and to 6 and to 12 and to a day. So we're going to stop work, and then what are we going to do? I encourage you to worship. See, worship isn't just in this place, although it's amazing. The presence of the Holy Spirit here is not just here. You know, I have a 30-minute commute. And one of my favorite things to do on Sunday morning is to put on a playlist of songs that lift my soul to Jesus so that by the time I get here, I've worshiped. On that Sabbath day of stopping work, don't just stop working. Find a way to rest your soul. And so then we have SW in the sword, stop working. What's the next letter? O, observe. And I'm taking this from Matthew 28, 19 and 20. As Jesus is leaving this earth, he is giving a command to his followers that day that is still true for all of us. Go, make disciples of every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them to observe all I've commanded. And then here's the good news. I'll be with you. So what does it mean to observe? See, it's sort of a bell curve, isn't it? Some of us are just beginning to observe. We're just beginning to open up our scriptures and see God speaking. And others of us, it's not just seeing it. It's starting to do it. It's what the book of James says. Don't just hear the word, but do it. Teach them to observe all I've commanded. See, this gift of Sabbath, we find it in the Old Testament, we find it in the New Testament, we find Jesus honoring it. We see it in the book of Acts. What does it mean to observe it? Some of you are hearing this for the first time. And so observing for you might be going home and reading about it. But others, this is something God's been whispering over you for a while. And observing it means I'm going to guard my Friday night. I'm going to guard my Monday morning. I'm going to choose to put aside the things that deplete my soul. I'm going to fill my soul up with living water. And when we do this, what happens? I believe that God speaks to us. God began to speak to me this year. He gave me a verb, a word, integrate. He wants my life to be integrated. And he gave me this verse from Isaiah that he spoke over and over again. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. It springs forth. Don't you perceive it? I'm going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Some of you, that's what your soul needs right now, the living water, the river through the desert of your life. And that's why I'm encouraging to stop working, to observe what God is commanding. And then the R in sword is to rest. See, once we stop, we are able to accept God's gift of rest. And he's invited us to do it every seventh day. That's how much he loves us. And so for some of you, as I said, it might be you need to go to bed earlier, or maybe you need a nap every day until you're not tired. But some of us, you know what resting is? It's getting up and going for a hike. It's inviting friends over and cooking a meal. And then the final letter of sword, we stop working. We observe, we rest, and we delight. When was the last time you delighted in something that God created you to delight in? So when I asked this on Facebook, I had a few people who were able to answer. When I taught this a few weeks ago, I had a friend here, one of her children, her son, wrote down a list of 12 things instantly. He's a teenager, and he still knew what he delighted in. And I had a whole bunch of women my age who just stared blankly at me. I don't know what I delight in. I'm so used to doing everything for the people around me, I don't even know what food I like anymore. But that's not what God wants for you. He wants you to live a life of delight. See, in Genesis 1:31, when he created us, he said we were very good. And then he gave this gift of stopping and resting and inviting us into this joy. And so this week, my friend posted a picture of her daughter. And for me, it is a beautiful expression of what delight looks like. When my friend adopted her, one of her favorite things to do when she came to America was cut things with scissors. And it didn't matter what it was, right? It could be a card. It could be a napkin. It could be something important, like a special picture. But to cut it and cut it and cut it just brought her delight. And so the other day, she brought her daughter to Michael's. And on the wall was a wall of scissors. And she took a picture of her face, and it was pure delight. And she said, Mom, someday I'm going to buy all of them. That's how you know what you delight in. See, if you're exercising because you know you need it, but you can't wait to do it again, that might not be your delight. It's important. But when you can't wait to climb every single mountain in the state of New Hampshire, you found your thing that you delight in. See, some of you enjoy having people over for dinner, but when you can't sleep at night because you're planning the menu and you can't wait to go get it, you found your delight. God loves you, and he made you with something that only you can do, and that is so important that he gave you 6 days a week to do it. But he also created you to enjoy this one and only life and to delight. It's part of what keeps it holy. And so that's my encouragement to you today. If delighting is hiking in the mountains, make time to do it. If delighting is sitting in the ocean, make time to do it. If delighting is getting into your bed with lots of blankets and lots of books, then do it. Whatever it is, make sure you find time for that long drive with good music or a chance to sit around the table with people that you love. No matter what it is, I'm encouraging you right now, let's start this week. Let's choose today in the quiet of communion time to say, God, I'm going to set apart an hour, a half a day, and I'm going to believe that you are enough, that the world does not rest on my shoulders, that there are things that I'm created to do, and through your power, I can do them in the limits you gave me to do them, because limits are a gift from God, and Sabbath is an invitation to see the invisible in this visible world. And so that's why we created these ancient path calendars. If you didn't get yours next week, or last week, if you didn't get it last week, over on the welcome table, we have them. And I just want to highlight a couple of things because you might read it and say, what are they saying? Because the first thing it says, do something completely selfish today. And we are going to take back that word. When was the last time you did something for yourself? We're encouraging you to do that. If someone asks why you're doing it, say, the people at my church told me to. And we have a whole list of things, so you don't even have to think of them. But it would be even better if you thought of them, if you began to wonder, what is it that I delight in doing? And so this week, leave here and believe that limits are a gift from God. And he has given you the power to do it through his strength by stopping work and observing what he's teaching you and by resting and delighting. And so I want to end today with Psalm 132, verse 14. One of the things I do when I listen on the way down is I listen to what God is speaking over me. And today, from an elevation worship song, it said this. It said that in heaven right now, the angels are singing hallelujah to God. But what he loves even more is the hallelujah from here below. Because you and I are walking through things that are not easy. And we can choose to sit here and to be sad. And sometimes that is the right feeling and you need to be there. Or we can choose at the same time and stay in our lament. We can choose to put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And from here below, say hallelujah. And so that is what happens when we recognize that God has created us on purpose to be in a relationship with him. And so in Psalm 132, verse 14, God says, this is my resting place forever. I will live here, for this is the home I desired. God no longer lives in a temple in Israel. He lives inside you and me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in our time of Sabbath, we can begin to believe that why Jesus came is true, because Jesus' name, Emmanuel, God came to be with us. So leave here today and choose to allow God to give you rest for your weary soul. And watch when you stop that the world will continue without you. And it's okay to stop, to be still, and to know that he is God. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you that your words spoken 2,000 years ago are still true. If we are tired and worn out from religion, we can come to you and you will show us how to take real rest. You promise to walk with us, never leave us. You promise to work through us. And so, Lord, I pray for each person here today that you would allow them to believe that it's okay to stop. Their identity is not found in what they do or in who they please, because, God, when you look at us, you speak life and love over us. We are loved. That's who we are. And so, Lord, I thank you for this church, these people who have all been given different gifts, gifts that when we invest them in your kingdom, you multiply them. And we go out not tired and worn and full of religion, but we go out full of joy, full of peace, and most importantly, full of your love. So Jesus, thank you in advance for all you're going to do. And Lord, I pray for each person who sits here right now, that they would believe the words to this song. We can come to your altar and your arms are open wide. Amen.